After the Rain is the brand new novel from Mary McCarthy, and she joins me on the phone now. Hi, Mary. Thanks for talking to me today.
Hi, Paula. Thanks.
So, can you maybe start by telling us a bit about the story in the novel?
Great, yeah. Well, After the Rain, as the blurb at the back says, it's concerned with a story of a woman diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But before I go on any further, those two words always put people off, or seem to put people off, terminal and cancer,
yeah.
And they'll say, oh, no, I'm not going to take that, it's too depressing.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, it's not depressing at all, seriously. The book is about celebrating a woman's life.
Yeah.
Now, it happens to start with the funeral notice, and the reason I did that was I told a friend of mine, I started this book in 2004,
mm-hmm.
8 years ago, and I told a friend of mine I was going to write a book about terminal cancer, and she said, oh, God, could she not get a cure? And the minute I heard that, I said, the book is about terminals. What do you not understand? The word terminal.
Give her a dictionary.
Yeah, so I said, look, that's exactly why I'm writing it, because my brother Niall had died in 2001,
yeah.
And he said to me, I'm bunched. He didn't actually use the word bunched, but
yes.
I can't say on the radio.
Yes,
he did
I know what you mean.
And I said, right, and I completely accepted it and talked to him perfectly normally. We're both quite blunt people.
Mm.
We don't kind of pull punches. So other people were saying to me, oh, you know, God is good. And I'm going, hello, hello. He's like, would you just accept this and let's be all positive.
Let's get on with it.
Yeah, and he really lived his life to the full. He was a terrific role model. And he refused chemotherapy and all the rest of it, like my character, Emer. Now, that's the point. I said, right, I'm going to go back and start it again. And I started with the death notice. And that way then I wasn't in any way tempted to save her, you know what I mean? Because the book is about her diagnosis, her initial shock that she goes through. And then she goes through denial, saying, oh, they've made a mistake. There's loads of mistakes made.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she goes through kind of annoyance with other people not accepting her condition, which I must say I can empathise with now. And then she finally comes to acceptance. Now, she's also very ill. So when you get to that stage of illness, you don't want to be hanging around, really.
Yeah.
So Emer is a very complicated character. Now, I really like her. And I have to interrupt myself. Not only do I interrupt other people, I actually interrupt myself. A friend of mine is the actor Gabriel Byrne. I have to name drop here while I can.
Ah, why not?
Exactly. So he read it and he really loved it. And I was delighted because he is a man.
Yeah.
And you know the way sometimes people try to classify you into this lit and that lit. By the way, I'm writing grit lit.
A new, brand new genre.
He loved it. My dentist loved it. My brother
fantastic.
Loved it. So I'm delighted that men can actually, because it's not written specifically for women. Is
yeah.
It? But that's Emer. So she's a complicated character, but he thought she was great, and he thought all the characters were very believable. You know, so it's... look, the story is moving. Obviously, she dies.
Mm.
It is moving, but it's more a kind of a retrospective account of her life told by her niece.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another theme I really explored, the love between a niece and an aunt. Sometimes, you know, it's always the mother-child relationship that's explored in books. So that relationship is pivotal.
Mm.
And then there's a second very important theme, which I can't actually state by name or it'll give away the plot, but let's just say it involves...
Yeah, no, we don't want spoiler alert.
Yeah, and bigotry. And that's a very, very big... the whole bigotry and how people are judged and how we judge others and how we're judged, that's a huge thing. And then the prologue to the book... that's 1978,
mm-hmm.
and then the book jumps to 2008, and then you get the span. But in the prologue, there's a hit-and-run accident, and it's a supposed hit-and-run, it's a supposed accident.
Yeah.
But in fact, that sets off a whole series of events that has repercussions down the whole 30 years that follow.
Right, okay.
So there's a bit of mystery there, is there?
Yeah, so, I mean, you were saying you started writing this 8 years ago. How did you come up with the storyline? It's not obviously something that you just...
Well, no, but because I was telling you about my brother Niall, he was so brave, I said, right, I'm going to try and write this. But even though I live with my son, Dara, well, he's back with me now. He was away for a couple of years. I've never figured out the male mind. I've done my best.
Don't think any of us have.
So I had to write it from a woman's point of view. But I was, you know, when I got into it then, she wasn't that brave at all. And she was in the end, but she took it very badly in the beginning. So... That's what started me off. But then once I get involved with characters, this is my fifth novel, they kind of take over themselves.
Yeah, the have a life of their own.
I didn't even intend. Like, you wouldn't believe that, but it's true. It's like having a conversation.
Yeah.
You wanted to go one way, but the person you're talking to then sets off in another direction.
So where did the title come from, After the Rain?
Oh,
where did that come from?
I love the title because Emer Dorgan, my character, it rains a lot in the book. well, set in Ireland, mm. after a shower of rain, she's looking out the window as she's coming to grips with her prognosis.
Yeah.
And she just says, oh, the sun had come out. And at the end of one of the chapters, she's thinking to herself, and she just said, things always seem better mm. after the rain.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, then I had George Harrison's song in my head, Here Comes the Sun, etc.,
yeah.
etc.
Yeah.
And then the tagline on the book kind of sums it up as well. Though storms may come, life is for living. And yeah. that is what the book is about.
Yeah, it's definitely got a feel-good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like...
It is sad, and people mm. are telling me they've been crying at the end, but they've been laughing all the way through. But there are loads of one-liners in it. Some of the characters actually are quite funny. I have a priest in it. Now, for once, it's a nice priest and not somebody who's going around abusing me. He's actually lovely. And the character, Emer, doesn't believe in anything. She's an yeah. agnostic. But this man just comes into her life towards the end of her life. Mm-hmm. And the irony is, there's a lot of irony in the book too, the irony is that she ends up being able to talk to him better than to anybody else
yeah.
because, you know, her family and friends are so close to
yeah,
her
exactly.
that it's difficult for them to accept it.
Mm.
So he's a lovely character. And the editor, Gay Shortland, said to me, like, all the characters for her spring to life.
Mm.
And then it's set in Dublin and it's set in some parts of her, certain Clifton. Oh yeah, we have passion in the 12 bends on our bucket list. And and part of it New York as well.
Yeah,
with her American connections. I must say now, of my five books, of course, maybe it's because it's the last one that I've done. I think it's my favourite. I kind of think I nailed it this time. This sounds very, you know, I'm not up myself at all. I'm very pleased with it, and I was terrified that it wouldn't be published at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose you're going to get better and better the more you do and the more sort of disciplines you get as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So when and why did you begin writing initially? Was it just a natural thing or...?
Well, I started writing... I loved writing in school. When other people were giving out about essays, I used to love doing English essays.
Yeah.
And then I wrote a book about the Beatles, which I sent to George Harrison when I was 12.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
yeah, but I don't think the man ever got
it. I was going to say, did you get a reply?
Well, the funny thing was, I sent it to care of a magazine which was out at the time, back in the dark ages, called Valentine Magazine.
Oh, right.
But maybe it's still on the go, I don't know. It was a teenage magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got this reply, you know, it said, oh, dear Mary, George replies. Now, I mean, at 12 years of age, I firmly believe that. Yeah. Now, George Harrison no more saw that letter.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I never saw the book again either, but that's the start of my writing.
Someone probably took it, but then...
And then I wrote short stories when I was in UCD, when I was in college.
Yeah.
And I'd always intended to write a novel, but then when I started to teach, which I did for 34 years, you're doing quite a lot of writing when you're teaching, in terms of I was doing all the notes for the kids. In the old days, we used to make the children think. But when the points came in, honest to God, it just ended up you'd be doing the notes, you'd be handing them out to them, and you know what I mean? Whether they're regurgitation. I mean, don't start me off now with the education system. But, so I started to write in, the first book was published in 1996, so mm-hmm. it was probably 1994. I'd been looking after my mum as well, who had Alzheimer's, and when she went into the nursing home, well, I won't say she went in, God bless her, I put her in.
Yeah.
I had to in the end. She had become, you know, become beyond me.
Mm.
And then I was a single parent as well. So between school, single parent,
looking after the kids.
Yeah, and then my mum went into the home. I then wrote my first book. I said, I'm going to do something now.
Yeah.
So that was a great success. Remember Me, it was about an adoption.
Yeah, yeah.
And that seemed to ring true with a lot of people. But in the same way as that rang true, I'm hoping that After the Rain will do the same for people who are either diagnosed with cancer or who are minding people with cancer. And I wrote it really as that, well, to come to grips with my own brother's death, but also I thought, God, this might actually help people.
Yeah, definitely.
Or to understand the mind of somebody who's going through it. But then, ironically, I was diagnosed myself this March. Well, the book definitely must have helped me. The oncologist said to me, he said, in March, well, we found secondary cancer cells. Now, once I heard the word secondary, I knew that was it. Because primary, they can cure. Secondary, they usually can't.
Yeah.
So I said, oh my God, what do you mean secondary? I mean, where's the primary? So we have to look. So they looked everywhere from top to toe and never found it.
Yeah.
So they, whatever the cells were, they reckon. Now, there's no definite 100% proof of this, but they think it was probably the ovaries, for which there sometimes there are no symptoms. So he said, well, you've cured that anyway. Your ovaries are fine. I said, what do you mean I've cured it? He said, "You're so healthy, you cured the primary." I said, "Oh no, please, please, just stamp irony on my brain." I never heard of that. I said, "Are you joking?" He said, "No, it happens to 1 in 20 people."
Oh my goodness.
So the good news is that, the good news is that because they couldn't find the primary, and this is the secondary, from my point of view, I'm such a neurotic that if they had cured me, I'd have been going on for the next couple of years. Oh, this is it, this is it.
Yeah.
But now it's never going away, so.
Oh, God. Yeah, you say that's the thing about cancer. You know, everyone immediately associates it with, you know, death and stuff. But I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, I am going to die from this, but the point is.
That we're all going to die, do you know, at the end of the day. That's one way of looking at it.
Sort of looking at me, kind of. You know, I'm saying to myself, do they not understand they're in this queue as well? I just jumped it a bit. Also, my last scan was good, so he's given me a 3-month break from chemo.
Fantastic.
And he said, I was initially given 18 to 24 months. That was 6 months ago. And now he says, no, it could be longer. So I said to him, well, it can't be because I wrote about it in The Independent and I have to go and I have to go. He said, you can write back to The Independent. I mean, I can't really die to suit the media.
I think it gives you a different perspective. We were talking about it in the office the other day about, you know, if you were told you only had 3 months.
Yeah, but 3 months.
What would you do? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think I'd rob a bank.
That's it, you might as well get the money, go and do it, you know.
Yeah, actually, somebody said it to me recently. I'm dreadful, like, I pay bills before they come. I am so, dire on my son. You do everything right, Mum, and where does it get you?
Exactly.
Now, I think the child has a point, or the man has a point. But imagine if you just did it, like, if you knew you definitely had a week. So then by the time your case would be up.
All the things, you know, you keep hearing all these things about bucket lists and, you know, it's a...
And that's what I wanted to say to you about the book, After the Rain, helping people. Mm. The funny thing was, it helped me, but I didn't intend that at the time, I can tell you. Because she went through all these, you go through, these stages, I didn't go through any of them. Mm. And when I was told, I just jumped from being told to total acceptance and serenity almost. Yeah. And he kind of, the oncologist looked kind of worried about me. He probably thought I was in denial. I said, I don't know. You see, he said, you will go. And I said, no, I don't think I will because I've already done it. He said, done what? I said, I've already gone through these stages. He said, what are you talking about now? I said, I've written all this. The man is now, you know, gobsmacked.
Yeah.
What do you mean you've written it? I said, I wrote all this 8 years ago in a book. And at that stage, I hadn't the publisher, which was another funny story because I had my other 4 books published with Poolbeg, and you know, I had fulfilled the contract and whatever, and I didn't think they'd like this book, so I didn't send it to them because it's not typical, let's say. It mightn't be what would appeal to a lot of people, although I think it's helped a lot of people since. But anyway, I bumped into Paula, would you believe, from Poolbeg, in the bombs. She was just in having tests and she's fine. I was coming out of one of my tests, so when I came out, I said, Ashley, I'll ring her and just say hello to her.
Yeah.
So when I rang her, I said, listen, how'd you get on? She said, fine. I said, how'd you get on? I said, I'm dying of cancer. And she goes, you are not. I saw you. You look crazy. I said, I am. And then I said, but that's not why I'm ringing you. I'm ringing you to tell you about my book, which is about this very thing.
Yeah.
So I said, you have to take it because I'm dying. I kept saying that to her. And I have to stress to people, I'm not actually dying at the moment.
Yeah.
I just will die of it. And she said to me, I'm not taking it, Mary, just because you're dying. I have to take it if I like it.
Doing you a favour.
So anyway, the emotional blackmail got me nowhere, but she took the book, and it took her a while to get back to me now.
Yeah.
And when she gave it to other people to read, obviously, and when she decided she'd take it, because I was thrilled, because I really, really wanted this book out there.
Yeah, definitely. So what was the hardest part of writing it, or did it have a natural...
Well, what was funny, though, was I had to rewrite, well, not really, no, rewrite is the wrong word, I had to edit it with Gay Shortland during the summer.
Yeah, okay.
Gay and myself get on great, we're kind of like-minded. Apart from the fact that she didn't like that my character drinks whiskey and Coke. She's a whiskey drinker and she said a real whiskey drinker wouldn't drink Coke. And I'm going, well, it's my book, write your own book. She's drinking the Coke in this book and that's it. But when I went over it again, you know,
yeah.
I turned the page and I said, oh my God, she's crying again. This is the character. Now, this is how I would imagine that should be. But I haven't been crying at all.
Yeah.
I cried, twice. I cried twice since the last 6 months. Once was when I said to my friend, I don't want my dog put down. Well, she started to cry as well. But now, dog put down is right. I have neighbours walking them on days I'm not able to. I'm in bed with a kind of a cold at the moment. Just a normal cold, folks, nothing wrong. Somebody came yesterday, brought him to the beach.
Oh.
Like, he's a lovely little dog. He's a real little character.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was one time. And then obviously when my son came back from Rome, he didn't realise the significance of my prognosis kind of until the doctors spoke to him. So he was upset and then I got upset. But apart from that, we're back to normal now. I'm still giving out about his bedroom. He's gone to the gym now so I can speak. And
how old is he?
How old is he? Yeah. He's a man. He's 30.
And you're minding about his bedroom? That's terrible.
I don't care about it. It's the rest of the house I care about. But he's back from Rome, so it's difficult for both of us, I suppose, to adjust again. You know what I mean? He's been there for 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, other authors that are out there at the moment, is there anybody that you're reading at the moment that would strike a chord with you?
Now, when I read, this is terrible. I mean, because I taught for so long, you know what I mean? I was into all the classical authors. I still love the classical authors. But when I'm reading myself, I love a good thriller.
Yeah.
I absolutely love them. So my favourite author at the moment is Val McDermott. I don't know if you know her.
I know the name, but...
I'm reading something at the moment. I'm only starting it today, called The Vanishing Point.
Yeah, I was going to say whether, as an author, you get to read much, or whether you're so engrossed in your own.
I do read a lot. Yeah, I do, but mostly thrillers. I love Jonathan Kellerman as well. I love psychological thrillers. Now, I did. Oh yeah, when I retired from school, I took a course in forensic psychology.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was all about the mind of a serial killer, and it was great. And we had to write a piece to get our diploma. So I was nearly going to actually use one of the pieces I wrote for a novel, but I don't think I'd be a thriller writer. I mean, it's one thing liking something.
Yeah.
Or when people say to you, oh, yeah, your book was great. It was an easy read. You know, you're going, yeah, easy read. Well, it wasn't an easy write.
You should try writing it.
You know, actually, an easy read isn't easy to achieve.
Exactly.
It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, I suppose there's different writers, you know, like your Stephen Kings. You couldn't imagine Stephen King writing a, you know, romantic...
but maybe he could. On the other hand, I took another course then on how to write a play, and I thought I'd be good at that because people said to me, oh, Mary, your dialogue is brilliant. You should write a play. Oh, no, I wrote a play. It was utter rubbish. And even though the dialogue came, it's just a completely different format.
Yeah.
You know, writing a novel gives you lots of scope for setting scenes and, you know, writing in the atmosphere. And, okay, the dialogue carries it along, certainly. Yeah. But no, I don't think playwriting was my forte, definitely not.
Yeah.
I cannot write, and I love poetry, but I can't write it myself.
That's the thing, I think everyone's got their own little niche, do you know what I mean, that they would...
Now, some people can transfer.
Mm.
Some people definitely can.
Yeah,
But no, novels are mine. But I'm saying this is my last novel just because of my prognosis, but the way I'm feeling now, I think, well, I don't know.
Ah, you never know.
You know, you see, and Gay Shortland thinks I'm funny, so she thinks I should write a comedy.
Why not? Why not? Get cracking. Get cracking now. Strike while the iron's hot. So, I mean, how much of the book is based on your... Did you research? Was it all just research and it was just pure coincidence?
And then I have to research. My character has stomach cancer, which I don't have. So I had to do a lot of research on that, Now, the book is not a medical book.
Yeah.
And because she's further down the line than I am in my prognosis, it has nothing to do with my stomach, she doesn't take chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And I could have written some funny things about the chemo ward if I'd known. For example, I don't know, when you get chemotherapy, they also give you, and everybody gets different chemotherapy.
Right,
I thought it was one drug. And mine is not too severe. And even at that, it makes me quite ill. So God bless people who are on stronger ones. But they also give you steroids into the vein, venously, which has a funny effect on your nether regions. Now, that's
right.
And in the hospital, and I'm in the Bon Secours, which is brilliant.
Yeah, I've heard it's an amazing hospital.
Yeah, it's fabulous. They're lovely in there. And they told me that I was going to get this funny feeling. And I went, oh, my God. So the next time I went in, I said, am I getting the funny feeling?
How bizarre. How bizarre is that?
They told me in there, the nurse told me that every single person gets it.
Yeah.
Now, apparently you can get it in different areas. But
that's one thing they don't tell you about, isn't it? Exactly. When they say about chemo, they say, you lose your hair.
No,
but...
and she said it's not in any medical book.
That's bizarre.
Well, I will be the one to spread to
her. You'd think it'd be in the, you know, like side effects.
Well,
of,
I did actually say it in The Independent, but they cut it out.
I think they're a bit too polite to talk about things like that in The Independent. So do you have any advice for, if there's people out there that are thinking about writing a book, thinking that they have a book inside them, what would be your advice to people?
I think everybody thinks they have a book inside them.
Well, that's the thing.
The only advice I can give is sit down and start.
Yeah.
Start to write. Now, some people work out the whole plot.
Mm.
I think they're only pretending, because I just get an idea into my head
yeah.
and I go off with it. And even if I did plot it out, because publishers like it to plot it out, but
yeah.
even if I had plotted it all out, it would have all changed anyway.
Exactly.
It's a bit like life. As you're going along, things take over. And
they
something
do.
That might have been only a minor thing to you in the beginning suddenly looms large, and you have to go with that.
Yeah.
But my best... Seriously, my best advice to anybody wanting to write is to stop talking about it.
And do get on with it.
Yeah, and do it seriously, because it's not going to write itself. And if it's, you know, your first chapter is very important. In fact, your first line is even kind
yeah,
of important.
Yeah.
If it's not, you know, if it's not going to grab you, then it's not going to grab anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I find that. I generally read the first page of a book, and if it doesn't sort of click... In the
yeah.
first page, I'm kind of, you know, you lose interest. It might have a brilliant blurb on the back of it, but if the first couple of pages don't really grab
exactly.
you,
and,
then...
Setting is important.
Mm.
Obviously, dialogue is important. To me, as a reader and a writer,
yeah.
the characters are seriously the most important
yeah.
to me. If I can't identify with
exactly.
them or know somebody like them or they remind me of somebody, if they don't ring true, in other words...
Yeah.
then no matter how brilliantly it's written,
yeah.
it leaves me cold. I have to feel something. Like at the end of my book, After the Rain, people are genuinely upset for Emer and about mm. Emer, and that's great. Now, if she was a character they hadn't identified with, it wouldn't have the same impact.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I think a lot of it is about identifying with the main character and sort of going on a journey.
Yeah,
at the end
exactly.
of the day.
Well, that's it, and she goes on the main journey herself. But there's also a family rift in my book,
mm.
which the death may or may not bring people back together. But that's another important point.
Yeah.
Life is very short, in a way, and we never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So, like, family rifts or rifts with friends or whatever, they're really stupid. You know, no, they are,
yeah,
because
yeah.
obstinacy can ruin what was... You know, or should have been a very good relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you hear about arguments breaking up families, and you know, it's
yeah, exactly, and exactly. And I mean, the people when somebody's gone, they're gone, and
exactly,
too late
yeah.
to make it up.
Yeah, that's it. Regrets. You can always,
yeah.
you know, while people are alive. You know, I was like with my grandparents, I regret a lot of, you know, not doing stuff and doing
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And
even now, hindsight.
I live in the family home, and I have loads of pictures from my parents' time, and I'm going, I wonder who that is.
Yeah.
Photograph.
Yeah.
And they're not there now for me to, and I keep saying to my son, will you ask me the questions now when I'm here? But
that's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. No, everyone should do that, really. Do you know what I mean? Look at their
yeah.
family as it is now, because once it's gone, unfortunately.
Exactly. And then I have little nice little symbols in the book now, and people may not realise they're symbols, but they are. I have a robin who figures... a lot in the book, and the robin kind of symbolised the connection between all of us on the earth.
Mm.
And me at the moment is my dog, but I love animals in general.
Yeah.
I think there is a huge connection between humans and animals.
Oh, definitely.
And then I have a lilac tree in the book, which the character's father would have planted, and then she looked after it all the year. So the lilac tree kind of symbolises the continuity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one life goes on. And I have a lovely birth in the book too. Well, the birth in the book is easier than birth in the A lovely young character called Grace is born, a little baby. So it's not all about death, as you can see.
All the angles have been covered.
Yeah, and also she's a writer, but unlike me, she's a poet, and she manages to get her little book, a small book of poetry, published before her death. So that gives her great hope as well. So, in fact, if you said to me, what is the book about, in one sentence, I'd say it's about celebrating a woman's life.
Yeah, definitely, most definitely. So thanks, Mary. Thanks so much for talking to me today.
No problem, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. So After the Rain by Mary McCarthy is available now in all good bookshops, published by Paul Begg. And there's also, I think there's also an e-book available.
Yes.
Is that right, Mary?
Yes, it is indeed.
Fantastic. So go out and buy that this weekend if you're looking for a nice, uplifting book to read. Thanks again, Mary.
Thank you, Paula.